This is another edition of our series of Conversations with the Candidates, in which I speak to folks who are running for elective office here in Maryland. My guests today are David Harding and Kathy White. They are the Working Class Party candidates for governor and lieutenant governor, respectively. And Mr. Harding is 77 years old. He lives here in Baltimore. He has worked at the Maryland Department of Health and at Bethlehem Steel. He's a longtime union activist with Ask Me. He is seeking his third elective office. He ran for the Baltimore City Council, the 14th district, back in 2016. He ran for Baltimore mayor in 2020, and now he's running for governor of Maryland. Mr. Harding, welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me here.
And Kathy White is the lieutenant governor on the Working Class Party ticket. She has worked at a photo finishing factory for the past 35 years. Kathy White, welcome.
Thank you.
And Mr. Harding, what attracts you about the job of governor? Why do you want to be Maryland's governor?
Well, I'm running as the Working Class Party candidate for governor because I want to give voters the opportunity by voting for me and Kathy to show that they agree that in order to really change things in Maryland, and for that matter around the country, working class people need their own political party, and that we need that party in part, most importantly, because we're going to have to make big fights in order to really change things. And we need a political party to help organize and lead those fights.
And Kathy White, in what ways have the two major political parties not served working class people? Why a separate party to represent the interests of workers in this country? What have the Democrats and Republicans not done that you think the Working Class Party can do?
Yes, well, I think the working class, first of all, is facing crushing inflation, and neither party has done anything to alleviate this problem. I think that's one of the bigger problems. There are many problems facing workers, and I think for the most part, like you said, neither party has done anything in that direction, in our direction. And the thing is that, you know, we do all the work and produce all the wealth, and yet we have no real political voice. And I think we need our own political voice. We need our own party.
And Dave Harding, what does the separation from the Republican and Democrats do? Republicans and Democrats do for working people. Why your own party? Why can't you work within the existing two-party system? Why a third party? What do you actually achieve in establishing this party, which was established just a couple of years ago, right?
Correct.
Yeah, a few years ago. Yeah, the problem fundamentally is that both the Democrats and the Republicans, particularly at the highest levels of those parties, are controlled by and serve the interests of really wealthy people in this country. And so they're not doing the things that need to be done for ordinary working people to have a decent life. And so working class people need their own political party to represent their interests and to be able to lead struggles to gain control of the wealth that we produce but do not get the main benefit of today, and use it to meet our own needs.
And Kathy White, for example, you mentioned inflation. What would you suggest the state government could do if you were elected as lieutenant governor along with Dave Harding as the governor? What can the state government of Maryland do to address inflation?
Yes, that's true. I'm not sure. I mean, on that level, we wouldn't be able to do anything, but that's true for a lot of things that we are proposing. But what we really are trying to use this as a platform to say that workers need to be organized to make a fight. We need to not be divided. One political party, for example, tries to divide us and tries to get one section of the working class to blame another section, for example, native-born, to blame immigrant workers. And this is why we separate ourselves from them, while the other party, while both parties take our tax money and use it to enrich the wealthy in various ways. And that's less money that can be used for services that poor and working class people could have, which might help alleviate some problems with the inflation if that money was there. But they say the money's not there because they took our tax money and gave it to developers or defense contractors or whatever. They use that money to subsidize the wealthy.
And so again, David Harding, I'm interested in why a political party is, in your view, the best solution to this problem, if in fact there's inequitable allocation of resources. Is elective office for the working class party the best way to influence that allocation?
Well, let me answer that question by just talking for a minute about my own experiences when I first came to Maryland. I came to Baltimore in 1963. Previous to that, I had lived in New Jersey. I came here to go to college, but I only went for a year, dropped out for a year, went back for another year, and dropped out again, mainly because I was much more interested in participating in the civil rights movement and later on in the movement against the war in Vietnam than going to college at that point. I wanted to go to college, I thought, at a certain point to try to learn how I could change the world, but they weren't teaching me how I could change the world. They were teaching me how to run it pretty much the way it is. What I saw happen in the 1960s is that there was, of course, a big upheaval in this country. There were big demonstrations, sit-ins, mass protests of various sorts, rallies, and even upheavals in cities all across the country. And it was only until business as usual had been disrupted by these kinds of activities that any significant changes were really made. And they were made then, some changes that were in fact beneficial, not only to black people in the United States, but also to women, to other minorities, to white working class people. And that didn't happen until those big fights were made. And once the problem was, we didn't have a political party at that time to take that fight further than it went. So while some good things were accomplished as a result of those struggles, once the movement died down, those gains that were made for ordinary people began to be eroded. And in fact, some of them are still being eroded today. That's why we not only need a fight today, but we need a working class party to help lead that that struggle and take it further.
Yeah, and Kathy White, I don't think anybody would disagree with the notion that, you know, a fight for equality and a fight for justice is a fight worth having. But you're running for elective office. You're running to be the governor and lieutenant governor of the right. state. So talk about the difference between advocacy and, you know, the fight, as Dave Harding describes it, and actually being in an executive position where you're running the state government. You're asking right. voters in Maryland to elect you to run the state government. It's a complicated and large enterprise. And do you see, you know, a distinction between the advocacy work and the actual executive running of the government?
Yeah, one thing I was thinking when you were saying that was that we can address, you know, have a what do you call it? A press conference, address people on how we see things, on our ideas. And we would also be transparent. There's a lot of backroom deals and a lot of things going on in government that we can't see. I'm not talking about security or classified things, but I mean things that really affect people's everyday lives that just goes on with backroom deals and things like that. I think it's important that there's transparency and that people know what's going on so they can have a say in it as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of people agree with that. Give me an example of how you would be more transparent than any of the recent administrations.
Well, as soon as I'm aware of something, I would bring it to the public's attention. I would not keep it a secret. To let people know what's going on. Hey, they want to do this project near this neighborhood, and there are these consequences. How do you guys feel about it? You know, have more town hall meetings where people can actually participate in government and participate in the decision-making process.
And Dave Harding, when others run for office, they often speak about their experience, and they bring to the voters an argument that says, I have done these things either in or outside of government, and because of that experience, I will be good at running the government. We have in the Democratic nominee for governor a man, Wes Moore, who doesn't have any political experience, no elective office experience, but he cites his experience in the nonprofit sector, his experience in the military, his experience in the world of finance for a brief time at the beginning of his career. He cites these things as reasons to elect him. Dan Cox, the Republican nominee for governor, has served in the Maryland legislature for a term, and he served as a lawyer. Is it important for elected leaders to have experience that's directly applicable to their job in office? And if so, talk about your personal experience and how that would inform your work if you were elected governor.
Well, just a couple quick things. In the late 1960s and till about the middle of the 1970s, I worked for Bethlehem Steel at Sparrows Point. While I worked there, I was active in the Steelworkers Union. I helped to start and then edit a local union newspaper. It was thousands of copies were distributed to members. I believe we put it out once a month. That was one thing that gave me some experience in terms of how to organize things and also the kinds of problems that you can run into in the process. Then, later on, actually, ever since 1984, I've been working for the Maryland Health Department at their headquarters building at Utah and Preston Streets. While I've been working there for a while, I was quite active in the biggest union there, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, and I became president of the local union of AFSCME at Utah and Preston Streets. And so I got a pretty good amount of experience there. I also, while I was president of the local, put out a regular newsletter every couple of weeks to inform people about things, to try to be transparent about things. You know, just to go back for a minute to something that Kathy was saying earlier, the recent response of the city to the problems with the drinking water in southwest Baltimore and in parts of Baltimore County was atrocious. People, because of the lack of transparency and keeping people informed promptly about what was going on, today it's reported that many people in southwest Baltimore and perhaps in parts of Baltimore County, I don't know for sure, still are not drinking water out of their taps because they don't trust the city anymore. And they're continuing to only drink bottled water. That's a real indication that there's a problem here about what's been going on and the way problems are dealt with.
Yeah, and Kathy White, I think there's no doubt that trust in government is certainly not nearly what it should be, what it could be for a vibrant democracy. We've got all sorts of people who contend that the presidential election in 2020 wasn't even fairly decided. So even though there's, you know, overwhelming evidence that that is in fact the case, when it comes to people trusting their government, talk about your work experience. I know it's varied. You've done various things throughout your life. Talk about that experience and how you think that would inspire voters to trust you to run the state government.
Well, my experience has been in helping to make things work at whatever workplace I'm at, making things, you know, I think all, you know, every worker has experience. We're actually running things. We're the ones running things. Even your show, I mean, you're the interviewer, but behind you is people in the control room doing the sound checks, checking our volume, all this. This recording couldn't actually happen without a whole bunch of workers involved.
That's absolutely right.
And it's true for everything. And a lot of the politicians today are professional politicians, and their whole job is to serve in their party, which, if it's the Democrats or the Republicans, in the final analysis, serves the wealthy. I'm not a professional politician. I'm a worker. I have a family. I took care of my mother when she was sick. I worked a full-time job at the same time. Don't ask me how I did it. There was a lot of things to juggle. We have to budget money. We have a house, you know, you have so much income, so much outgo. So, but that's the experience of every worker. And I think there's something that workers get told that we can't lead, we can't run things, but it's not true. We actually are leading in our own ways and in our families, and we are running things. So there's some way that we're told we're not smart enough, we're not good enough. And I want to say to my fellow workers that we are good enough. We can run things for the better of everybody.
And David Harding, you mentioned that in your workplace you were involved in union organizing and work there. And that workplace, of course, is the State Center. And that's one of the issues that the new governor will confront. It seems that the current governor, Larry Hogan, wants to give the State Center complex to the city of Baltimore and have the city take care of it. He's had his chance for 8 years to take care of it, and he's elected not to. He torpedoed a proposal that had been agreed upon by the developers and various people in the neighborhood surrounding State Center. He decided that that wasn't a good deal for the state and has now decided that he's not going to be the one to make that decision. What do you think the role of the state government should be in redeveloping State Center?
Look, let's just take Hogan at his word. He's made it very clear that he wants to move all workers out of the Utah and Preston Street State Office Complex downtown in order to boost the downtown real estate market. He said that explicitly, that that was his objective.
Well, he said that the building in the State Center complex is falling apart and it's no longer habitable, so that workers are actually unsafe working in that building because of the deterioration of the structure there. So he's saying that he should move them and keep them in the city of Baltimore, not move them to Annapolis or to some other location.
Yes, but there's been one plan after another about exactly what to do with this complex.
And what would your plan be?
There was a plan earlier to move, to do some construction in addition to what's there now at the Utah and Preston Street complex, to move state workers into that new building, and then to redevelop the other ones. In other words, state workers would still be working at Utah and Preston Streets. They wouldn't be downtown.
Is that the plan that you favor?
No, I'm not saying whether I favored one plan or another, but I'm saying this thing's been being kicked around over and over and over again for years now.
Oh, I agree, and that's why I'm asking you, what do you think we should do?
And Hogan's idea of simply turning the complex over to the state once workers are moved out into leased office space in the downtown area is just, he wants to get rid of it.
He doesn't want to deal with
the question of what's really going to happen there afterward.
But you see, sir, with all due respect, I'm asking you what you think should happen, because I think voters, want to know what elected leaders would do under certain circumstances. This is an issue that's very important to people, not only in that neighborhood in downtown in Baltimore, but throughout the state.
Yes. And there's one thing that's clear. In order to redevelop that complex, it's going to take many millions of dollars, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars, depending on what's done. But just to prepare it for redevelopment is going to take millions of dollars. Hogan says he's ready to turn this complex over to the city. Is he going to give them the money to at least prepare it for redevelopment?
Should the state do that?
Well, let me put it this way. Taxpayers shouldn't have to pay for that, because the redevelopment now, it's clear, is going to be done under the auspices of producing things for private companies. They should pay for it.
And Kathy White, when we talk about some of the other issues that are important to your ticket, the Working Class Party, you've mentioned inflation, you've mentioned minimum wage and unemployment. One of the things in a recent poll by Goucher College that was commissioned by our station, WYPR, and the Baltimore Banner, it came out in June, found that one of the issues that's top of mind for many Maryland voters is climate change. What do you think the state should be doing in the arena of the environment?
Well, the state could do a lot. I think the main thing that gets in the way is that various industries fight for what they want, which isn't necessarily good for the climate. They want to increase their profits and sometimes paying attention to climate change interferes with their profit making. So we would have to go against industry, which other parties have not seemed to be willing to do.
And that would take the form of what? Regulation? Give me an idea of what that would look like.
We could have real regulations that aren't just, you know, right now it's just, the word is not coming to my mind. But again, I think that might even require a big fight because industry will resist and they have big bucks and they have pull right now. But workers have a lot of pull too. And I think it's just that they don't realize it. But I think you got a little glimpse with the potential railroad strike that has been quote unquote averted because it showed how much power the railroad workers had. But it's not just railroad workers that have that kind of power. It's the whole class has that kind of power, that same kind of power, if we were together and organized.
Yeah.
I'd like to say one quick thing about this question. Sometimes the Democrats and Republicans, even though they serve the same interests, do it in slightly different ways. The Republicans, if they want private interests to do something, may tend more in the direction of giving them tax breaks if they do it. The Democrats sometimes they also use tax breaks, but they tend more often to subsidize private interests in order to get them to do something. But in either case, working people pay for that, whether it's in taxes that don't come into the government, that could be used if they did come into the government to pay for other things, or money that's being paid in subsidies that could be used for other things. But in both cases, they do it by offering some of the richest and most powerful people in the country a way to make more money.
And Kathy White, we are almost out of time. One of the issues when it comes to the position of lieutenant governor is what that position actually entails. It's very ambiguous. There's no job description in the Maryland Constitution about what the lieutenant governor does. Lieutenant governor, of course, is there in case, for whatever reason, the governor, God forbid, would be incapacitated. But what do you see as the role of the lieutenant governor?
Well, this is exciting because it means I sort of get to invent my job.
Don't worry, Kathy. I have plenty of things for you to do.
Oh, good. Well, of course I would be doing that. And I think, I lost my train of thought, but that's what I was going to say. It's an exciting thing. It's also very exciting that for the first time in Maryland's history, people will have a chance to vote for working class party.
All right. And Dave Harding, as we finish up here, when it comes to the two major party candidates, do you see any difference between the posture and the support for working people in the campaign of Wes Moore and Dan Cox?
Well, they make appeals in different ways, obviously. Dan Cox is sort of trying to play to what's normally characterized as Trump's base of support with the kinds of statements he's made and what he says he thinks about different things. Westmore, on the other hand, like many Democrats, promises just about everything to everybody. I'll give these people this and those people that. But most of the time,
but my question, recent history, my question, sir, is there a difference between those two candidates in terms of the advancing the interests of working people?
Not fundamentally, no.
All right. Kathy White, thank you for your time. Kathy White is the Working Class Party candidate for lieutenant governor. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And Dave Harding is the candidate for governor on the Working Class Party ticket.
Thank you.
This has been part of our series of conversations with the candidates.